Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all this morning. Well, I say see you, I can't see you at all because it's got lots of lights, but I can just about make out you all. It's really good to be with you this morning, and I just want to say it's an absolute joy to be able to come and share something of God's word with you this morning. So, as the video introduction has already kind of intimated, this is the start of a short series over the next 4 weeks looking at Colossians. Now, Colossians, as it said, was written by a guy called Paul. Now, I don't want to assume that anybody knows anything this morning, so forgive me if I try and explain stuff in a way which everybody is able to be included. Is that okay? Okay. So Paul was someone who basically found Jesus in an incredible way, in a dramatic way, whilst he was out one day trying to persecute and arrest believers in Jesus. And he was someone who believed that those who were following Jesus were people who were absolutely against God, because he was someone who grew up in the Jewish faith, somebody who loved God as God of the Old Testament. And he saw these Christians as an absolute threat to that belief in God. And so he was so incensed as a result of this that he went out and got letters of authority from the leaders to go and find Christians in their houses and arrest them, bring them back to Jerusalem and imprison them. And it was on one of these encounters, that Jesus encountered Paul on the road to a place called Damascus. And there was an incredible transformation that took place in Paul's life as a result of that encounter. We're going to jump forward a little bit because lots of things happened in Paul's life, not least of which was this transformation turned this guy who was so against Jesus to his most important proponent of Jesus. He was out and sold out for Jesus as a result of meeting him. So much so that he went out and he would travel around the Middle East and he would be teaching about Jesus. He will be preaching that Jesus really was someone who they needed to hear about. And he would establish churches across the Middle East. And in one of those missionary journeys, he was in a place called, Ephesus. That's it. A place called Ephesus, where he would preach the gospel. And people were getting saved following the preaching of Paul. One of the guys who we understand was found Jesus in Ephesus was a guy called Epaphras. And Epaphras, we understand, was one of the guys who founded a church in a place called Colossae. Now, Colossae, if you want, whichever way you pronounce it, was a city in the Roman province of Phrygia, in a place called Asia Minor. Now, for those of you who may recognize that as a Google map, you may recognize that particular area. Does anyone recognize where in the world that actually may well be? Where would it be? Turkey, absolutely right. So there you go. The little red marker is where we are focusing this letter, Colossae, or Colossae, in eastern Turkey. So the gospel's been preached, and there's a church that's been founded by this guy, Epaphras, and maybe some others, who discovered faith in Jesus. Now, Paul himself had never been to that church, okay? But he'd heard great reports about the faith in Jesus of the members of that church. He'd heard about their incredible love for one another, and the fact that the brothers and sisters were bearing fruit in Jesus' name. This was, by all accounts, a really successful church. Yeah. And it's really great to hear when a church is successful, don't you think? All we hear about in the news today is about churches that are failing, about how things are falling apart in the Christian world. But let me just say before we go any further, there are successful churches that God is moving through today. Now, despite the fact that this was a successful church, okay, Paul had heard that there was some false teaching that was beginning to enter into the church. And this is something that we have to be very careful of, even in a successful church, even in a church like New Life, which is successful preaching the gospel. It can be very easy for individuals to come in and begin to kind of feed in stuff which isn't quite right, or in fact, is more than isn't quite right. In fact, it's completely contrary to what the truth is. And as a result of what Paul had heard, this is what was happening in the church at Colossae. There was some false teaching, some philosophies or thinking that had been making its way into the church. And it was threatening to derail the faith of the people because it was threatening to derail the reality of the truth about who Jesus was. This was, if you like, an early example of fake news. Anybody know what fake news is? You cannot surely, if you watch the news at all, know that the world is full of fake news, especially now with AI. And I was watching something about how AI is developing and is even more sneaky now at being able to kind of present things which look to be true, or individuals will try and present things which are absolutely false, but they will try and present them as true, and they'll kind of wrap them up in a wrapping that looks good. Let me give you an example of that. Even this week, last week I was away in Keswick. And each year in Keswick, there is a big Christian Bible convention which takes place. And thousands of Christians from all over the UK and around the world, in fact, gather to hear the word of God. Now, I was there working with WorldShare. And one of the things that I do in my job is that I travel around visiting various projects that WorldShare is involved with. And in a few weeks' time, I should be going down and speaking at a church in Torquay. And I'd arranged for a hotel to sleep in the night before I preach in the church. And I booked it through a particular booking website. And I had an email come through which said from this site saying, oh, there's been a problem. We need you to resubmit your card details again to be able to secure the booking because there's been a problem. I thought, fantastic. Okay, I'll do that. Submitted it. As soon as I did it, then you realize that was fake news. I've been scammed. Someone had kind of checked out, in fact, I subsequently found out, someone had hacked the systems from the hotel, which had then had the ability to send out all these things, which looked absolutely pristine and looked perfect, but it was fake news. And you know what happens, you know, when you've had your credit card details submitted and stuff, and then you go through all the rigmarole of having to phone the company and blah, 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 blah. But the point being is that fake news can look like real news if we're not careful. And that was what was going on here in this situation. So such to the point where Paul decided that he needed to write a letter to the church to kind of put them back on the right track, or to give them the reality of the truth. Because do you know what? Sometimes we don't get to see the reality of the truth when we've got fake news until the truth is put up against it. And even then, these days, it can be really difficult to see which is the truth. But this was Paul's intention, that he wanted to counter this fake news. Now, despite us living nearly 2,000 years later in a different country and culture, what was true then is also true now. And any church that's faithfully following Jesus must be aware of the fact that there are always attempts by Satan to discourage, divide, and ultimately seek to destroy the church by any and all means. And we, as members of this church, must be aware of that. So some of the lessons that Paul wanted to teach in this letter they were written to a specific church in a particular part of the world are still relevant to us today. We need to have the full picture. Does anyone like doing jigsaw puzzles?
Oh, no.
Couple of people. My mother used to love doing jigsaw puzzles. It used to drive me crazy. And it used to drive me crazy because I had experience whereby you would try and follow the image on the box, but you didn't quite have the full picture because there was one piece missing. Have you ever been in that position where you've kind of tried to do a jigsaw and you've got one piece and you spent all this time trying to create this thing and emulate the picture on the box, and there's this little, it's probably a picture of a nose or something that's missing, but it's still the piece missing, which means you don't have the full picture. Paul wants us to have the full picture of who Jesus is. He wants us to truly understand through this letter who Jesus truly is, so that we can see the fullness of the reality of who he is. And maybe there'll be an aha moment this morning for some of us, because some of the things that he taught can be a bit kind of mind-blowing for us, and a little bit daunting if I'm completely honest. But it's important that we have the full picture. Now, a few weeks ago, I was really privileged to be able to represent WorldShare at the Houses of Parliament. There was a national parliamentary prayer breakfast taking place actually in Parliament. And I was invited to go as a representative of WorldShare. And I went to the Palace of Westminster. I don't know if you've ever been to the Palace of Westminster and been there. It's a fantastically ornate building. And I walked in, and on the right, in a glass case, they've got this great big gold carriage that they'd obviously used recently, and it was very ornate. And I felt a little bit overwhelmed. A little boy from Bristol who'd been invited to London to go to this this breakfast. And there were tables set out all around the room, sat down with a list of people who were due to join me on that table. And as you do, someone sits next to you and they say, "Oh, so who are you? What do you do?" And I was chatting to someone who was in a similar position as I was, doing similar kind of work. And then a gentleman sat down next to me on the other side. And he began to chat. He was a really lovely guy, kind of really friendly, really affable. And I said, "Oh, what's your name?" He said, "Oh, my name's Marin." I said, "Oh, that's an unusual name. Where does it come from?" He said, "Well, I'm Bulgarian." I said, "Oh, that's really fascinating." I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I'm the ambassador for Bulgaria to the UK." And I sat there and thought, ah. Because I realized that there was something in regards to this guy who was sat next to me that I had no knowledge of at that point. He had the full authority of the Bulgarian government in his very person next to him. He was a representation, if you like, of that nation to the UK. Now, as it was, he was such a friendly guy, as you probably expect an ambassador to be, that we carried on chatting and it was a really good conversation. But the point is this, is that sometimes we don't know what someone fully represents. And this is some of the things that Paul is trying to deal with in some of this letter to Colossians. So it's the same with Jesus. And this is where Paul starts his teaching about Jesus. And it helps to frame our scripture this morning as we discover that this really all is about Jesus. It really is, everything is about Jesus. And there may be more this morning that you are not yet aware of about who Jesus really is. So if we could just have the full text up, that would be great. I'm just going to read it through. So we're looking at a few verses in Colossians chapter 1, and it says this: "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So what was this fake news that the church in Colossae was having to deal with? Well, it was this. It was the very fact that there was a thinking which said that God would never reveal himself in human form. That was basically it. It's not that God couldn't, but that God wouldn't even dream of doing such a thing. Because God is God and humans are humans. There's a big separation between the two, and never shall the twain meet. There was a thinking that everything that this physical is bad, but everything that's spiritual is good. So God was kind of focused on the spiritual stuff, and anything that's on earth was pretty bad. And there's no way that God, in any way, shape, or form, would ever disdain himself to be able to reach out and be connected with humanity. Now, you may think, well, that's a kind of strange thing to think of. Well, you might think, actually, that has a resonance today, because many people believe that Jesus is just a man. Many people just believe that he was a good man who spoke some good words, did some good stuff. But Paul wants to combat this fake news. He starts by saying this: the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, you can be forgiven for thinking, just like this representative of the Bulgarian authority, Marin Rakov, was a representative of his nation, that Jesus is just a representative of God. Now, in the Old Testament, there were representatives of God. They were called prophets. They were people that spoke on behalf of God. But Jesus was totally different. He wasn't just a representative of God. This was God in human form. We read that the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Now, that's a mind-blowing thing to think of in the first instance. So let's bring it a little bit simpler. If you are ever in a position to think, well, what is God really like? What is God really like? Look at Jesus. Because it's in Jesus that you will find who God really is. Not because he's not just a representative of God, because he is God. So all the things that Jesus spoke of, all the things that Jesus taught, all the things that Jesus did, they were God revealing himself to us as humanity. You see, Jesus just doesn't resemble God. He is God. And that's the first thing that's really important for us to remember as a church, a Christian church. And this is incredible to think that Jesus was fully human and yet fully God. But Paul goes on to reveal something more about who Jesus is. He says he's the firstborn over all creation. Now, in Jewish culture, the firstborn was really important. So if you were the firstborn son of a family, you had a special place in that family. You were the one who was going to inherit the vast majority of what was coming when your parents died. And you had a special significance being the firstborn in that family. And Paul tells us that Jesus is firstborn over all creation. So Jesus has a special significance, a priority over everything that's been created. Now, this isn't just a nice kind of title that's given to Jesus. Kind of, you know, like, Prince William is now called the Prince of Wales, isn't he? It's a title that's been given to him. This wasn't just a title that was given to Jesus. It was far more. It was a truth and a reality of experience. Why? Because it says, in him, in Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. Hang on a second. Let's spend a moment just thinking about that. So what you're saying is, Paul, that Jesus was the one who actually was involved in creation. Is that right? That's exactly what he's saying. Hang on a second. But didn't God create everything? He did. But it's really interesting. If you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, what's the first book of the Bible?
Genesis.
Very good. Go back to the very first book of the Bible. It says in Genesis, let us create man in our image. That's right at the beginning of the Bible. That indicates a plurality. It wasn't just God the Father is involved. Jesus and the Holy Spirit were involved right at the very start of creation. This is mind-blowing stuff. Because Jesus just wasn't this little baby who was born in a manger and did some great things for 30-odd years on the earth. This was God himself coming to us at a point in time who was creator of all things. He created it all. And what Paul's saying is there's nothing different in terms of what's spiritual and what's physical. It's all good because Jesus made it. Because God created it. There is no separation. We have the ability to enjoy everything that God has given to us. I sometimes meet Christians and I wonder if they ever know what the joy of the Lord is. Do you know that joy that's so deep down is kind of hidden? Because they don't truly understand that when Jesus came to us, he came to give life to the full. Or life overflowing, life in abundance. That's what Jesus came to give, for us to enjoy the blessing of all of God's creation and to enjoy the blessing of a relationship with him. You see, God isn't so far away. He is close by. At the point when Jesus left heaven to come to earth and take on the form of a human being, he left all of the glory of heaven. I once heard someone say, I wonder what the angels were thinking when they knew that Jesus was going to go to earth. They must have been horrified at the thought that Jesus was going to leave heaven and take on frail flesh, as one of the hymns says. Become completely dependent upon a mother to be born as a tiny baby. Having no power, having left all his power, to come and be God with us, Emmanuel. And I love Christmas. Answer me if you love Christmas. Yeah, absolutely. I love Christmas time. But it's something which, you know, we kind of hear so often that it was God came in human form, and we just kind of take it for granted. But when we stop and think about it, we realize, why would God do such a thing? Why would Jesus do such a thing? I'll tell you why. Because he loves us so much. That's why. He loves each one of us so much that he couldn't let us continue to live in the way that we were living because he was desperate to be in relationship with us. See, God always intended that his creation should have an incredible relationship with him. When God created man, it was intended that man and God would have a really close relationship to be able to live with one another, day by day, facing everything that the world brings day by day, but with God next to us, with us, absolutely alongside us. But we know in the story of Genesis that we messed it up. Humanity messed it up. Adam and Eve in the story in Genesis messed it up. Now, you may have come into church this morning thinking, do you know what? I've really messed it up. I've really messed up my life. I've really messed up this situation. I've really messed up because I've done something so, so stupid. I've done something so wrong. Let me tell you that the story of God coming in the form of Jesus, in the form of a man. The one who was the creator of the world, who left everything to come because he loves you, despite the fact that you may have messed up. In fact, he came because you messed up. Why? Because when we mess up, we separate ourselves between us and God. God is holy. We mess up and we're not. Now, we can't make our way back. So God came so that he would make a way back to us. That's what it's all about. Jesus is God. And he has authority over everything in the world. And so if the one who has authority over everything in the world came and made himself a baby, giving up all that, that we could have a way back to God, that requires of us a response. That someone of such power would leave it all to come, taking on the restrictions of humanity. There's so much more in this text, and our time's kind of gone. But I just want to say this, that Jesus, it says, Jesus is the head of the church. This church is led by Jesus. I know we have a fantastic pastor in Russ and a leadership team here, but this is Jesus' church. We're here because of what he has done. And believe it or not, the church is the way that Jesus is represented today here on earth. Like it or not, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, I kind of realize that I am really bad at being sometimes the representation of Jesus. I know you guys are probably much more holy than I ever can be, and you're doing a much better job than I ever could. But whether we like it or not, we now have the responsibility to reveal the truth about who Jesus is. That he is God in human form, and that God was pleased to have the fullness of everything live in him. And it says in verse 20, and this is the key verse, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven. Those things that are spiritual, those things which are physical. Making peace through his blood shed on the cross. I want to just say this morning, it was a sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross which enables us to have that life in abundance that Jesus promised. Why? Because those things that we mess up in, those sins that we habitually involve with, those things can be dealt with, not in our own strength, but in the strength of the creator of the universe who came and was born and who lived and who died and who rose again on the cross. Praise God. And because Jesus rose again, we can be assured that those who put their trust in him will live again. We may have a particular time on earth, but there is eternity, and we will be risen again with Jesus. So, this morning, and our time is gone, this morning, having heard the fact that Jesus, the creator of the universe, who came in the form of a baby, who lived, died, and rose again, so that you and I might be able to be brought back in reconciliation to God. And I love that word, reconciliation. I love it. It's a sense of two people who are far from each other being back, being able to be back. And you know how it is. Okay, guys, if you've ever done anything wrong in your marriage and your wife lets you know it, by not saying anything. Been in that position? Yeah. Because it's always the guy's fault, whatever goes on in there, guys. Get used to it, guys, because that's the truth, okay? But there, my wife in particular is really, really good. Really, really good at letting me know when I've done something wrong by not saying anything to me about it. And I hate that tension. I hate that when there's something that goes on and you kind of know something's wrong, but you don't know how to put it right until you have to come and go, sweetie, what have I done? Because I don't know. Or, The length of time progresses and you realize what it is eventually. And you have to go and say, darling, I'm so sorry that I was thoughtless, that I didn't do what I should have done, whatever it was, that I offended you, what it was. And then she's so graceful in her forgiveness. And then you're able to come back, and that reconciliation, where there was a gap between you, is no longer a gap. And you're able to feel like a weight lifted from you. That's exactly what it is that happens because Jesus came and died on the cross. So we are reconciled to God through him. So all that stuff that you mess up in can be dealt with so that you can have this life to the full with God through Jesus Christ. So this morning, I don't know any of you, well, very few of you, but it would be amiss of me not to give an opportunity, because perhaps you've come into the church this morning and this is the first time that you've heard about who this Jesus really is and what he came to do. That the fact that the creator of the universe came because he loves you, because he loves me so much, that he wanted us to have this life to the full, which God had planned and intended right from the creation, to not have any barrier between us and him. This morning, I want to give an opportunity for you. If you are feeling that you need to be put right with God, that you know that there needs to be reconciliation between you and God, this morning it can happen. This morning it can happen here, in and through Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that we all just close our eyes just for a second. I was a boy of 10 years of age when someone explained the gospel to me. And as a boy of 10, the simplicity of the fact that God loved me so much that Jesus came for me to deal with everything so that I could have a relationship with God blew my mind as a 10-year-old. And it was a simple prayer that began that process. And I want to pray something very similar this morning so that anyone here this morning who's feeling, God, I've got it wrong and I want to start again, to know that you can do that today. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And if you'd like to respond to that prayer, please do so. In fact, let's all pray and repeat the prayer that I pray, a simple prayer. And if God is speaking to you, let these words be something from your heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you left heaven and you came as a baby so that I might have life to the full and be reconciled to God. I thank you that you died on the cross and you paid the price with your blood so that I can be set free from all of the weight of my sin. I ask for your forgiveness, Jesus. And I pray, let me start anew. I give my life to you and ask that you will lead me from here on in for the rest of my life. Amen. Maybe that's a prayer that you've prayed many times. Maybe it's a prayer that you've prayed for the very first time or something similar. Let me just say that if you prayed that prayer, something has changed in your life. As a boy of 10, when I prayed that prayer, something changed in my life as a boy of 10. And I didn't realize what it was until a few years later when I saw a movie of the story of Pilgrim's Progress, when Pilgrim kneels at the cross and this big bag of weight of sin that's on his back rolls away when he comes to Jesus. That's what's happened this morning to you if you prayed that prayer for the first time. Let me just say that after the service, there's a banner on the side there, Want to Talk. We'd love to be able to kind of just hear that if you've prayed that prayer so that we can help you and maybe give you something to take home and just pray with you. So please, after the service, if you'd like to, please make use of that in the just here on my left, just there. So we're going to We're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to turn our eyes back on his wonderful face. And just as we sing this song, I want to speak to those of you who've been following Jesus for a long time. And maybe this morning, Jesus is calling you to a deeper walk and a deeper fullness of abundance of life than you're currently experiencing. Maybe there's something that God's called you to do, but which you've been resistant to do. As we turn our eyes on Jesus' face, as we worship Jesus, give yourself back over to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry for not doing what you called me to do, to doing what you want to do in my life. Recommit. I can recommit myself to you. So let's stand and sing this song. And as the band lead us, if you are someone who maybe wants to recommit or re-give your life back over as a dedication to the Lord, or say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, maybe you could just raise your hands as a symbol. I'm coming back to you, Lord. It's starting again today, because God loves it when we come back to him. Jesus loves it when we come back to him. Lord, I just want to pray for those who've raised their hands. Lord, those who are feeling the touch from you, Lord God, that something is happening in their life today when the creator of the universe comes and brings life to the full in our lives. Holy Spirit, move in their lives, I pray. Whatever the situation, whatever the thing that you've called them to do, let them in this moment receive a touch from you to know that, God, you've heard their cry, and that this will be the time where things will change and things will move forward to a deeper walk of fullness and abundance that you promised, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.